When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. Welcome to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. This is Charles Laux, and I am your host. It is great to be back and being able to record podcasts again back in school. We are super excited, and I'm extra excited to have a good friend and a colleague and just amazing educator, Mr. David Eccles, here with us today. Welcome, David.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Charles. Great to be here with you in person, live.
Yes, I know. This is our, we've done a couple of live podcasts, but this is my first podcast face-to-face. We're in my studio in my basement and just going to talk about back to school today, talk about our summers, learn a whole bunch about you. And then if later on during the podcast we have some time, we'll take your calls. I'll put the number up and we'll take your call. So as you're listening right now, you know, think about what you want to ask, and maybe we can help you or just put you on the right track. But so let's get started. What how was your summer?
Summer was great. I mean, it was this past year and a half, 2 years now has just been, I mean, it's, we keep hearing words like unprecedented and yeah, but it has been, we've never, I mean, I can't remember last time I lived through a pandemic, but
right.
You know, so it's just there, it's been a lot of just craziness, mm-hmm. You know? And so this summer was a chance to reset, reboot, revisit. You know, we are all, you know, my entire family except for my 11-year-old is vaccinated, so we got a chance to travel and visit yeah. family we hadn't seen in almost 2 years. So
that's great.
So to reconnect, you know, just on a personal level, just to fill that cup,
yeah,
you know, and actually get out and be on the road and drive somewhere and see
do something.
It was great. Yeah.
Other than stay home.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little scary.
Yeah.
You know, just because,
sure. Yeah.
You know, just because everybody's sort of at a different place, you know, around the country. So, you know, we still, you know, were as safe as we could possibly be. And, you know, knock on wood, everybody's fine and we continue to thrive. So,
that's right.
One of the coolest things we did was we found out that a couple of descendants on my side of the family were in the 20-odd first group of slaves that came into Port Comfort.
Wow.
In Hampton, Virginia. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay.
And it turns out that one of the first slaves, especially Cumbo, the Cumbo family, that Cumbo line, you know, was right there in, you know, one of the, in that 20-odd. So we got a chance to go on Juneteenth. We got a chance to go to Jamestown and to go to Williamsburg and to,
cool.
and to walk the, for my kids to walk the path that their ancestors.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And
right.
It was Juneteenth and it just culturally, personally, it was a very fulfilling time. Plus to be back, you know, and plus growing up in that part of Virginia, you sort of, you know, when you go there on school trips, you sort of take it for granted. Oh, another trip to Jamestown.
Right.
Another.
Right.
But, you know, going back with this new perspective
yeah.
and taking kids back, it was a chance to, you know, just to find out a little bit more about who we are as people. The other cool thing I found out was that one of my, also one of my early ancestors, once again on that combo line, was the founding cellist of the Harlem, at that time was the Harlem String Quartet.
Oh, wow.
In New York, you know, during the time of the Harlem Renaissance. And to see his picture, what we have, we're lucky we have a member of the family who's a Harvard genealogist. So so he hit me up on Facebook and sent me a picture of this combo, of the combo cellist in the Harlem String Quartet.
And wow.
So now I'm in touch with my cousins on that side to see if I can maybe find his cello.
Wow. And
bring his cello back into the family. That's at the top of my
list. That's your goal. Yeah.
To find his cello and put it back in the combo family.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. And just again, yeah, like you said, just being able to get out and do things, but all those experiences you had are, you know, so personal and just you need that after what we've been through and having to stay home and teach online
and deal
with all this. Yeah. You just need some personal.
Right.
Yeah.
It tends to recharge those batteries.
And so
that was great. And also just that making that whole connection to music and arts in my family and to know that I come from a long line of artistic people and people who have had a string background. I mean, this cellist was at Juilliard before it was Juilliard, you know, and one of the first black cello players admitted to
that's cool.
At the time. I mean, just an amazing connection.
Yeah. And he's in your lineage.
Right.
You know, exactly. So that's even cooler.
and I think back to Yo-Yo Ma's dad, you know, told him, well, it takes three generations to make a great, you know, musician. So, you know, Yo-Yo Ma's dad was a violinist and pedagogue.
Okay.
And there are other members in Yo-Yo Ma's family who were musicians, maybe not at the level of his dad and Yo-Yo Ma himself.
Right.
But to know that he's a part of that lineage of music making and artistry and artist. It helped me come back to school and come back to teaching with a broader view, with a more forgiving view.
Right.
Because it's a very, this arc of artistry and teaching and music making and being together as human being, it's a huge long arc of time, you know, and in this time and space when we have so much information available at our fingertips and
so
many things coming at you
so
quickly, and this whole idea of getting instant answers and instant access.
That gratification. You got to have the instant gratification, you know.
Exactly. And and this time of COVID, you know, has sort of helped me, you know, pull back away from that and realize that this is a much longer arc. Time is here and now, and we have right now, nothing else is promised, but in the grand scheme of things, we have a long time to live and love and experience and make music and art. So coming back to school this year, that has sort of been my mindset.
That's awesome.
You know, as I look at, so the other cool thing about starting this year is that I'm teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th grade beginners.
Fun.
And then I have my upper school chamber orchestra and honors orchestra. So the span of my week, I get
to
teach across the entire spectrum. So coming at my new students with this idea of that we have time to get everything done.
Yeah.
My goal is to make you a lifelong consumer of music and lover of music.
Right.
You know, whether you play or not.
Yes.
And to give you that background to know that you belong to a much larger community of artists and music makers and educators and hopefully future educators.
Right.
You know, I love the excitement of where you are now, this newness, but I'm gonna take that newness and help shape it and mold it to give you something that's more sustaining and hopefully more life, you know, continued life affirmation as you move
right.
through, as you move through your life.
Yeah. I was just telling my students, you know, as we start the year and, you know, we're trying to talk about goals and whatnot. And I tell them, you know, my goal is to make you into an independent, confident musician. And like you said, an appreciator, consumer of the arts. But, you know, there's a lot of students out there that learn how to play pieces that they've worked on.
Right.
And they can come back and play whatever pieces they've worked on. But if they get something new, they don't really have much of a clue on how to proceed and take that music and figure it out, learn it, you know, decipher it, you know, interpret it. And so that's you know, I tell my students, you know, that's my goal for you is that when you leave here that you won't need my help to right. be able to take a new piece of music and do something with it and enjoy it, whether it's a solo or a small group or you're playing in an orchestra, you know what you're going to be able to do.
Right, exactly. And this whole, you know, we're working at the Lovett School where it's a very high-achieving academic
environment. Yeah, and do tell us about the school because I think, you know, yeah. people in the Atlanta area know about your school, but maybe everyone else might not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, So I teach at a private school here in Atlanta called the Lovett School, so named after Eva Lovett, the founder of the school. We're coming up on 100 years of being in existence, and I love Mrs. Lovett's approach, right? Her whole approach was education should teach the whole child. I mean,
right.
which is something we've all learned in education school, in music school, in yeah. college. But
we're not sure if everybody believes that.
Exactly. but to finally work at an institution where that is the core mindset, the core mission, the core belief, has been very fulfilling, you know, so far. So this idea of music and learning music not only, you know, offers a complete education, but this idea that music also is an academic pursuit.
Yes.
Right. This whole idea, yes, it makes you feel good and yes, you're surrounded by it. It's fun. And all that is true. While all that is true, it is also, like you were saying earlier, it's an academic pursuit. Our job is to make our players just as conversive in music as they are in reading. And I mean, they can pick up a newspaper
yes.
and understand the news of the day and read an article. Likewise, they should be able to walk into a chamber music setting or a community orchestra
right.
setting and pick up a piece of music and bring that same level of academic pursuit to making music.
Yep.
You know, and then we have the added dimension of being able to bring a personality into it and to make music and to speak the unspoken and to provide an emotional experience for the audience or whomever is listening or just the people with whom they're making
right.
music.
Right.
You know, it just that's just that level of competence, right? It's nothing. Yeah. It's no big deal. That's just making competent musicians who
right.
are able to think independently yeah. and go through this world and exist as music makers independently.
Yeah. And we're just providing that experience for them to hopefully make some memories. I mean, I know my fondest memories are an orchestra.
Right.
Orchestra things we did, you know, concerts, And that's another thing that I want to make sure that the kids really try to embrace is like, you know, there's so many, especially my seniors,
right.
you know, want to get out of school. They're like, I can't wait to go. I'm like, I actually have a few who have come back to me and said, I wish I would have embraced that time more. And I said, okay, we're going to get you on a Teams call and you're going to come talk to the seniors. I'm going to do a senior meeting, like something that we talk about that, you know, that other pandemic, which is senioritis.
Right.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, you know, getting the kids to really understand that they need to appreciate their time and embrace it, enjoy it. Because once you go to college, I mean, college is great and college is a different experience. But, you know, you if I could go back to high school and just redo a couple things, I would, you know, just embracing it more and spending more time with friends and
right.
things like that.
And I talk about this with my students too, just from a numbers perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are we are part of a very small community of people in the world who first have an appreciation for this type of music, for like string music, for orchestra music. So that already puts us in a small category.
Right.
And then we keep distilling that down to people who can actually make music, you know, who can actually pick up an instrument and play and make music. That's a, an even smaller percentage. Then you distill that down even more to people who are competent enough to read music and sit in an orchestra and sit, you know, and play a couple solo pieces. That's an even smaller group. So they, I keep telling my students, you are in such a very small, you comprise a very small percentage of people in this world who can do what you do at this level.
Yes.
So look around you. Be nice to everybody around you, because you're going to know these people for the rest of your life. They're going to be coming in and out of your life for the rest of your lives.
Yeah.
So understand that. Value these relationships now. Value this time now, because when the chips are down, or when the chips are up, or when at any time, you will be able to call on these people and have this shared experience, you know, across time for the rest of your life. Unlike, you know, sport, you know, I played football for a little bit in, you know, junior high school and in high school. And it's different. I know you could pay me to jump on a field right now to get hit, to be tackled. Why?
It'd have to be a lot.
Right, exactly.
But it'd have to be a lot.
Exactly. Yeah. But hopefully, even into my 80s and 90s, I'll still be able to at least pick up a cello and play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, something. You know?
Yeah.
And still be able to make a sound, or maybe sit down with a couple people and play the Twinkle variation, you know, without having to suit up, or without having to risk, you know, life.
Breaking a hip.
Live, right, exactly. So it's something that we will be able to do for a lifetime.
And every time one of my students, you know, is thinking about quitting or changing classes, I try to remind them, it's like, every time I meet an adult who used to play an instrument or used to do this, they always immediately follow that with, I wish I would have never quit.
Right.
And, you know, I'm so envious that you can do this, you know, and we kind of take it for granted when we're doing it. Even as teachers, it's like, well, this is what we do. But, you know, we have to remember that our students, like you said, are in that small population. And it's very special what we get to do. And once you learn it and you have those skills and you take them and you roll with them, you've got them, you know, it isn't like riding a bike. You will, you know, not keep it if you don't use it. But at the same time, you know, it's something very special. And I think we need to keep reminding our students about that.
Yeah. And I think, too, as they, and you know, we had, you know, pre-COVID, we had some college recruiters come, you know, from like the big Ivy League schools.
Oh, wow.
And we did a whole afternoon going around from recruiter to recruiter. And one of the themes I heard in their all of their presentations was that, you know, at this point, you know, it's the competition to get into college is so high right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even a school at Lovett that's has a very high academic standard, and our kids are expected to get in those top level schools. One of the things they talked about is, you know, they're finding, you know, first of all, colleges want to attract students who will be able to be there and thrive for the entirety of the diploma program.
Okay, right.
At whatever level.
They don't want people dropping out, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. So as they move away from just looking at pure academics like the ACT, SAT scores, GPAs, you know, all that stuff, because all the kids that are applying to those schools come in with the top numbers. Numbers wise, they're in the top, you know, 1% of graduates in their institutions, in the top 1% 1.1%, you know, of graduates in the country.
Right.
And so academically, they're all coming in with the same thing. So then what's the next determinant in looking at how a student will survive and thrive in a 4 or 5 year program? Then they start to look at, so what do they do outside of
there
academics?
You go.
And the fact that our kids can come in and say that they can demonstrate, clearly demonstrate that they have a multi-year association with a program that does things in school, outside of school, mm-hmm. that maybe has a community service aspect to it. What that signals to admissions people is that, hey, this person will be able to come to our school, bring this very high academic standard,
yeah.
but also understand that they belong to a larger community. So right. they can go into the university orchestra at any level or the university music program and find a built-in community, which will help them be able to, you know, to continue on.
Yeah.
And acclimate to college life a lot sooner and be there a lot longer.
Right.
So,
yeah. I tell my students too, I said, you know, your grades are important. Your test scores right. are important. They're becoming less important to a lot of universities. But I said, you know, it's not a determining factor of if you're going to be successful. I said, you know, to be honest with you, and I tell my students this, and I'm not afraid to share, you know, the scores that I got in my grade point average. But I said, if I had the grades and the test scores right today that I had when I was a senior in high school, I would not be admitted to any of the universities that I currently hold degrees from.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
true, you know, and it's so much more competitive. But, you know, there's I don't know if it's grade inflation or what it might be. But at the same time, you know, that those experiences like you're talking about set you apart.
Right. Right. And that's what all of those recruiters were saying to A1, once they put up that chart and they see those two kids and academically they're exactly the same, mm-hmm. but then they look at student A from one of our programs and they go, oh, this person, first of all, they played in orchestra for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, they were maybe a leader in their orchestra program. Oh, they did all state. They did all mm-hmm. county. They did a solo and ensemble.
Right, right.
It's like, wow, they just bring a deeper, richer background to the program,
and they kept the grades up,
exactly, you know? Exactly. So they were able to juggle all of that, which means that they may be at a higher level of competence to be admitted, and then the big thing is stay in college because that it, you know, when you look at and coming from the college side, I taught, you know, for 11 years
right
at Vanderbilt College of Music in Chicago, and one of the very interesting things about Vandercook, besides it being a an institution solely dedicated to music education,
right? Yeah, so you didn't have the comparison necessarily right. To a non-music person,
right? Right, exactly. But the cool thing is that our students were able to repay their student loans at almost 100 at a rate of almost 100%, which means that our students got out and were working and were viable in the marketplace enough to where they could start to repay their student loans
right away.
Pretty much right away. So as a result, Vandercook is rated very high on that standard too.
Sure.
So, yeah. But when you look at someplace like, you know, some of the larger universities, their student loan repay rate is much lower.
Sure.
Because
they're not, you're almost, not to say guaranteed a job in music ed, but there are a lot of jobs,
yeah,
you know, and there's a lot of good ones out there.
Right. And you know, Dr. Gillespie did the research back in the mid '80s that showed that we as an industry, we already only graduate 50% of the people needed to fill the available
right,
positions.
Right, that shortage. Right, right.
Right. So we
now we're in those times right now where right. the where they were predicting and
right, exactly. And I mean, and since the mid '80s, we've been running a 50% deficit. So numbers wise, there are a lot of jobs out there. More than jobs, it's opportunities.
Right.
There are a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and careers, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
To build and grow and maintain a career across multiple disciplines.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's an exciting, it's a scary time, but sure. It's also an exciting,
yeah,
an exciting time for our students and for any students that are out there listening, you know, coming through college.
Yeah.
It's a great time for you to
get started. Yeah.
Especially if you're like willing to move around. I mean, they're worldwide. There are opportunities to teach music, to teach strings, especially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think we are in a renaissance of string teaching. You know, when I go to ASTA and I look at the amount of instrument makers that are there, mm-hmm, and the amount of publishers and the amount of accessory dealers. Let's face it. If you are a business, you're in business to make money.
Yeah.
Right? You're not in business. The pursuit of business is not an altruistic endeavor.
Right.
Right. So the fact that industry has said there's enough interest in string teaching and string playing to offer instruments at a much higher level. Like
right.
When I first started teaching 30 years ago, the instruments
some that worked, and then there were some that just
yeah
were just abominable. I mean, there's still the abominable instruments. We understand
that.
But there's a lot more to choose from now.
Yeah, I remember
when
I first started in Brevard County, you know, I walked into an elementary school and they had the RBI, the rhythm band, cardboard violin. So it's essentially two cardboard flat cutouts with a piece of wood in the middle, an acrylic bridge, a metal tailpiece that was strung up to like four like guitar tuners, and then this bow that was literally a stick. In a piece of wood, it looked like a gamba bow,
uh-huh,
you know, from the 16th century.
Oh my gosh!
And so, and they had stacks of those to teach
kids,
beginning kids.
Wow!
Yeah, it was. I'd never seen
no. Wow! Like. So that's unreal.
Yeah. So then we graduated to the lark and skylark. So that was
oh boy.
I mean, by comparison to the cardboard, that was like.
Whew. It's one step up, but right. Yeah, but another way is a step backwards.
Exactly, exactly. But then very quick, but even just a few years after that, you know, we started getting even better instruments. I remember when Eastman instruments first hit the scene for beginning players. It was a game changer.
Yeah.
It was a game changer. And we continue to have, you know, to have the support of an industry that is making sure we as educators and our students have quality instruments to especially in the beginning
right.
phase, so that we can at least have a fighting chance.
Right. Because it makes the experience so different.
Yeah.
And, you know, even at the high school level, I have some students who have played on, you know, some clunkers for 3 years. And then I look at it, I was like, no, I can't let you do this. And I, you know, I don't have a ton of instruments, but when I can give them out and get a decent, nicely set up instrument in their hand. They're like, wow, this is so easy to play. I'm like, see what you've been missing for
right,
3 years.
Right. You know, I had one of my graduating seniors came back this year. She was able to get a step up instrument. You know, she had been renting
mm-hmm.
middle school, upper school, and applied that rental to our new step up instrument.
There you go.
That when she goes to college, she'll be able to have a decent instrument and play. Man, when she came and she brought that instrument to me and she played it, the joy, I will never forget, just the joy in her eyes when she heard that sound. And she was like, when they brought out the instruments that I, you know, my step up instruments, she's like, that was like the second one I played. And she knew right away.
Yeah.
And it was like, and now she's enthusiastic and now she's ready to get to college and play. I mean, she's going to a very competitive university in New York. And,
oh, wow. Okay.
And, you know, she wasn't an alpha row or beta row player, but she was a great player. You can tell she just loved music.
Right.
And so now she's going to be able to sit down next to some of these, you know, kids that were in that alpha and beta mm-hmm. row and very high performers in the orchestra and pull out an instrument that's going to be able to at least add to the section. It won't
sure.
take away. It won't make her sound like,
right.
you know, a certain type of player. She now has an instrument at a very and a very reasonable price,
sure.
reasonably priced instrument.
Yeah.
But it's for her, it's going to allow her to open up and really play and make music and once again be a part of a community in this very competitive environment.
It's amazing now what you can get for the money and the sound that you can get and the control and the tone production for the money now.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice because it wasn't always that way. And you can spend a lot less and still be competitive and expressive that way.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's
lots of
exciting times.
Very cool. So we're gonna, I think it would be cool to talk a little bit about, what you're kind of focusing on this year.
Yeah.
And I haven't shared mine either. But what you're working on and how are your kids? And you guys are all back to school face to face, 100%, no virtual.
Exactly.
Mask mandate or no in your school?
So we're everybody's mask because Lovett is in Fulton County.
Okay, so yeah.
Fulton County does have a mask mandate, mandatory mask. But even with that, the medical professionals at our school had already said we were going to be back fully masked, whether we were vaccinated or not.
Yeah. I'll take kids in masks face to face over kids at home. Exactly. Doing what they were doing, which was we don't know what, for so long, you know. And so, it's a bummer that we are, having to wear them. I understand why.
Yeah.
But, that facial expression and, when I joke around or make, they can play for me and I don't even have to say anything. Just look at my face. And they know that, okay, we're going to do that again, I bet.
Yeah.
And there's none of that. It's very hard to read the eyes and forehead wrinkles, So, that's the only downside right now. But, I know it's not going to be forever. And, and for me, it's, the kids are just super psyched to be in school.
Yeah.
They just do what you ask them to do because they're excited to be there. And that's how it's working for me so far.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's my goal this year is to get back to community building.
Yeah.
Right. That's the number one. We've been apart, and we've been scared. We've been living in fear because nobody wants to get sick. Nobody wants a loved one to get sick. Nobody wants to get sick just going to the grocery store or coming to school. So we continue to acknowledge that this isn't over, right? This is a very scary time. And all we have is our time right now.
Yes.
And we're fortunate enough to be together masked. It doesn't matter. The fact that we're together is what's important. And that's what we celebrate every day. We come in, I used to do this sort of sporadically, but now it's a part of my daily routine of teaching. We warm up every day. We get our bodies and minds physically, spiritually, emotionally ready to play.
Great.
And then we have our rehearsal.
What are some of the things you do for your warm-ups, on that level? I'm assuming it's not necessarily like we're playing scales or doing other things.
Right.
What are you doing?
Totally, instruments are down. We close our eyes. We breathe.
We breathe.
We concentrate. We quiet the room. We understand. We talk about how our time together in the room, in our rehearsal room, is a sacred time. It's a sacred space. Almost at the risk of sounding, hyperbolic. It's a religious time.
Right.
It's a very special time. So we acknowledge that every rehearsal at the beginning of rehearsal, with deep breathing, closing our eyes, getting focused in the space.
Yeah.
Then the next thing we do is we physically warm up because, that's the other thing about Lovett. Lovett has an incredible sports program, too. So I have a bunch of players who are also high performers physically in sport, in gymnastics, basketball, volleyball, baseball. So they understand that to perform at a very high level, they have to warm up their bodies.
Right.
So we stretch, we do neck stretches, we do shoulder rolls, we do isometric palm stretches to get the fluid running through the joints and to get the muscles ready for this our physically demanding high performance activity that we're going to do for the hour.
Yeah.
So we physically get ready and then we, emotionally get ready. We start with tuning, once we get the body warmed up, we find our A, we agree upon an A and we tune and we, and we agree upon our D. We sing, you know, we good. Sing. Yeah. And so we get the mind and the body ready to make music. And then we set our the groundwork of scales, right? We understand, okay, here are the tonalities in which we're going to be working today. You know, here's, mm-hmm. oh, the, our pieces are going to be in you know, in B flat major or G minor. And so we play those scales to understand the tonality. We right. talk about, man, how does that third sound against a drone, you know, or against a, or if we're doing in a major tonality, how does that third adjust? How does that seventh sound? Mm-hmm. You know, how does that sound as we play through the scale? We talk about acoustically what happens. You know, I've been working on this concept of with them of, you know, music making is based in physics, right? It's
right.
It's a very concrete set of rules that govern how sound moves through air, time, and space and interacts. Yeah. So during our scale warm-ups, we talk about, oh, as we go up three octave scales, violins playing in that upper octave, you have to listen to the basses because their frequencies are still twice as big as yours. And so for the ear, for them to hit the ear at the same time, you have to play slightly softer. Basses, cellos, you have to play slightly louder so that we can get that core sound at every dynamic yeah. level. So, and to build that into our warm-up and to have them listening just as we play scales.
Yeah.
You know, and then we pull out, you know, like Michael Allen's daily warm-ups. And yep. we go through a section of those every day so that in the span of 2 or 3 weeks, we've played through every single one of those
right.
exercises just as a part of our warm-up, just right. to know that these are all the requisite skills we need to be able, once again, to be able to pull that knowledge into any piece we're reading yep. or playing.
That's great.
You know, so we're building that foundation of tool. Here's your toolbox.
Yeah.
That we can apply.
And are you on a block schedule?
No, we have a rotating schedule.
Okay.
So it's sort of a block rotating, but
do you see your students every day?
I see them. No, I don't see them every day. It's a 6 day rotation.
6 days. Okay.
And I see them four out of the 6 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
And then the other interesting thing is I have just a convention of the scheduling. I see my entire upper school orchestra at the same time. So I have my honors kids and my chamber kids in the same class.
Challenging. Every
day. So, yeah. so we finally have enough staff now to where I can.
Oh, good. Yeah.
We
yeah.
can separate and we can do sectionals and we're not, and, but I don't want it to be like, oh, all the good kids are going to go with Mr. Eccles and then all the,
yeah.
no, we're going to mix it up, right? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so on some days I'll see those honors kids mm-hmm. exclusively, but on some days they'll work in sectionals with the other mm-hmm. teacher, or we may even do, you know, upper string, lower string sections.
Yeah. Because, you got a great staff too.
Right.
Right. So great teachers there.
Exactly.
And so that's fantastic.
Yeah. So we're going to be able to do lots of sort of different things in that hour
yeah.
that we're together, but we're always going to start together and we're always going to end together. And we always end class by saying, thank you for a beautiful morning or afternoon of music making.
Yeah.
Turn to your stand partner and say, thank you for this time together. And then we move.
Yeah. That makes that really helps kids appreciate that and realize that what they are doing is not just a class or, you know,
you're right. And I love it because even because a couple times last week I forgot and they're like, Mr. Eccles, are we going to say it? I'm like, oh yeah, sorry. so it's cool to see that buy in.
Right.
Especially, you know, this is my third year, the start of my third year at Lovett. Basically, I still don't know what a full year feels like. Right.
That's because, right. Yeah. You haven't.
COVID
yeah.
hit this spring of 2019. That was my first year. So we ended up virtually, and then we did all last year hybrid.
Right.
You know,
this is your first real year.
So this is my
yeah.
first, but even this still isn't a real year because everybody.
Well, yeah, now
we're
matched up, but right. at least face to face, right?
Right, but
yeah.
this is at least closer to how I remember the start of 2019
right.
being. So I still sort of feel like, last year, don't know about you, but I felt like a first-year teacher.
Last year was the worst teaching year of my whole, in my 25 years that I had done last year. It was the worst year, literally. And it had nothing to do with, like, my students were bad. It just, I hardly had any. I had 15% of my kids face-to-face.
Wow. Yeah.
Which was very few. And, you know, like, chamber orchestra, I had one kid for a semester. One kid. And, you know, I'd always joke with them, oh, we're going to be best friends by the end of this, you know, semester.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, it was hard on me. You know, not a lot of satisfaction of the music making, you
right.
know.
Right.
And just knowing how many students were struggling
yes.
at home and yes. just feeling terrible that you could only really do so much.
Right.
So that was a challenge. But this year brings a lot of hope, you know, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm just being optimistic that we're going to still be able to do all the things that we've planned to do, which is regular concerts indoors. We did an outdoor spring concert.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it was okay. And it was we only had two orchestras out of the normal five.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we'll be able to do the indoor concerts. You know, we did a social at the first week of school. It was great. You know, the yeah. kids, just seeing them play cards, and we did some Jeopardy. We had pizza, you know, just having them watching them be kids was just like, okay, this is so nice,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
You know, also trips, you know, we're planning to go to our local university, Kennesaw State, to do the Invitational they host. And it's a great experience. The kids love doing it. And we get to spend the day on campus, and they eat lunch there and get yeah. to hear the orchestra play and all these good things. I'm just hoping we can keep that. And then we're also supposed to take a trip to Washington, D.C. in March. And once again, I hope that, yeah. you know, as of right now, yeah. they haven't told us no. So we're just taking one day at a time and seeing if we're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. It's interesting. I sort of decided to not plan a trip this year just because it was so because I didn't want we've had enough disappointment.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I struggled with that.
Well,
too,
last spring I'm looking at him like, yes, we are going to be back to normal next year.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously this new round has changed things a little bit,
right?
And brought back some doubts. But you know, if we can make it happen, we're going to. And I think the kids need this, you know,
yeah,
as part of their experience. And you know,
yeah. Well, I promise my kids, if they can just hang this year, we'll let's just get back to live concerts.
Right.
Once I promise them a big trip, you know, 2021-22.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So that'll be yep. that'll yeah. be our first big trip, and actually my first big trip
with them. Yeah. Right, right.
So
that's great. Yeah, have you noticed, obviously, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed there's definitely some learning loss, I mean, and you may not know from your school as much because you weren't there that long, but for me, you know, my younger orchestras are down at least two levels. Than what we were. My top group, I think, will be down one level, but I think they will recover faster because, you know, a lot of them are studying privately and they're, you know, really gung-ho about going forward. But, you know, my freshman came in, okay, like, we're going to do a two-octave D scale. And they're like, what's an octave?
Right.
You know, and I can't blame, I don't blame a teacher or anything else. I just blame that most of them were at home. And everything takes twice or three times as long when you're in a hybrid situation,
right.
and
right.
it's what it was.
Right, and that's where I am with the kid. It's not about, because we can't change the past, right? There's nothing we can do to change the past. All we have is what we're doing right here and right now. Here, our first goal is to make sure you understand what it means to put your physical plant in a position to make good music again.
There you go.
You know, you're not sitting in your dad's super plush office chair, you know,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
or you're not sitting on your bed, or you're not sitting in your papasan yeah. chair, you know, you're okay. So now we just got to get reset and get back to, okay, here's our environment. Here's how we set up, you know, right hand, left hand.
Yep.
Here's how we set the body.
It's like back to basics, you know, right. that's, I told my students, I said, you know, you've missed so much. We have some catching up to do, and we're going to do it as much as we can, and I'm not going to stress about trying to get my kid back to the level that they were at pre-pandemic this year.
Exactly.
Because you know it's going to take several years.
Right, and,
to
and
get
that's
them.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's okay. Fine.
We have.
As long as they're, you know, as long as they're invested,
Eggs.
As long as they're enjoying themselves, we're making good music. You can make great music with grade two music.
Exactly.
You can make great music. Like, there are some grade two pieces that I just absolutely love, right. You know? And
right. And just these opportunities to teach great tone production and to teach, get that left hand going, get some vibrato going, get some expression going, to talk about how to really turn a phrase. Mm-hmm. You know? How do you build? How do you grow? How do you balance? How do you, I mean, so many great teaching opportunities.
Yes. Know?
And great opportunities for students to make those discoveries and to make a plan themselves.
Yes.
And to be a part of the process. That's what I valued two things. Actually, a few things about being stuck in COVID, right? The first thing I valued in teaching in COVID is that because we were on Zoom, we were invited into our students' homes.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes we were even invited to their sacred family space. You know, I got to see, you know, looked around and saw what, you know, some of those kids had pictures of their family up, you know, surrounded by pictures of grandma, granddad, the entire, you know, so it was a very intimate time of teaching during that. So I always want to, coming back, make sure the kids know I want to thank them for inviting me into their private space, you know, into their sacred space. So, and I want to continue to honor that by making sure now that we're back that they get, you know, hopefully what they need to feel a part of the community, the big community again. The second thing I sort of valued was that it did give the kids that alone time, that time to say, okay, for that metacognition, oh, this is what I really need to work on. I can't depend on the person next to me or the people around me. This is all about me now. I have to take responsibility for my plan.
Can be good. And some of my students, it was a very negative thing where they, you know, there's a lot of depression. There's a lot of, you know, just getting down and not, you know, so I think some of that is good. I think, and I think at first, particularly, it was like, okay, you know, I can do this way. And you know, we were talking about what they missed about being at home. They're like, the ability to go up, you know, go get hot food anytime I want. I mean, I admit, like, I could go up, make a cup of coffee between classes, and it was pretty nice.
Yeah.
You go to the bathroom whenever you need to, you know. Right. But, you know, I'll take not being able to go to the bathroom all the time for having kids in class and making some great music. So, but it is pretty funny.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I honored those, the students' metacognitive time, that time where they got a chance to say, okay, this is where I am and this is where I want to be. So that's another thing we did or we're doing over these next couple of weeks is doing that self-assessment to say, okay, this is where you are. Here's the here are the standards, and I'm using the points in the ASTA curriculum, you know, in terms of how you sit. Are you at this level? Where do you think you are?
Right.
You know, where do you think you are with your left hand development? Where do you think you are with your oral skills, your right hand development? And it's just a simple, simple, you know, student survey.
Yeah.
That I pulled. You know, that created by pulling directly from the ASTA curriculum.
Nice.
So now that I have a chart, so now I can say, okay, you student A feel like you need to work on these skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what we're doing in class, or here's what I'm going to help you find specifically to help you fill those gaps that you've identified in your playing. So it's giving me a chance to give a little bit more individual instruction. Mm-hmm. You know, on a bigger scale, without having to meet individually with every student, just hear the standards. Where do you identify your skills as you relate to this standard?
So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. You want to take some, if there's anybody out there that wants to call in, you know, we have the ability to take some live calls. We can continue our conversation, ask questions for David. Tell us what's going on in your classroom. Every time I do a podcast, I learn, and I think it's great. So the phone number is 678-901-9035. Again, 678-901-9035. If you want to call in, phone is ready to take your call. David's grabbing a sip of coffee. And but yeah, I think it's an exciting time, and it's also one of those that we just get that opportunity to start going, you know, again. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, I've gotten chill. Like the first time we played a scale together, and it, you know, this first week of school, I was like, I got like the chills. I was like, wow, yeah. You know, wow. Yeah. How much should we take all this for granted?
Right.
You know,
right. Even just a scale, just to hear a scale, or just tuning to hear that A line up across all the sections of the orchestra, and the room starts to vibrate, and you can feel the overtones. And yeah, it's like, it was like many of those moments where it's just like, oh, wow.
Yes.
I've missed this.
Yes.
I've missed this so much. And just the sound of kids in the hall, and mm-hmm. the crazy conversations, and to hear the lockers opening and closing,
mm-hmm.
to hear, you know, we set up, one of the cool things we did this is to start this year, we set up a little listening area, because we have a cool like turntable and CD player and all this stuff.
Okay.
So we set up a little listening area, an analog, you know, air quotes, listening center. So we have our nice little big blue fuzzy rug. We have a couple of cushions coming in, and now we've already had kids come in, even kids who are not in the program. They've heard that we have this little cool hangout area in the orchestra room.
Nice.
So kids are coming and doing homework and just hanging out. You know, just a couple kids. It's so nice to have that sense of community.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the morning before school starts, pretty much every morning is the orchestra room is a place to go.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just nice to see kids being kids. And
yeah,
you can tell they're smiling. They're talking. They're, you know,
yeah,
doing their thing. And it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. The other cool thing is I've had some kids come out of their shell, you know, because they were sort of stuck at home.
Mm-hmm.
I their kids in the 2 years I've heard prior to this year, I maybe heard them say 5 or 6 words. It's so great. They're coming back and they're like coming in and having like full conversations just because they're happy to have that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever was keeping them from being fully engaged now is sort of removed, and they're back happy to be engaged. And as a result, I mean, I've learned just the first couple of weeks, I've learned so much about.
Oh, we got a caller. Sorry. We got a caller. It's a very special person here. Welcome. You are live on the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. Who is this? Can you hear us? Oh, hold on a second. Let me make sure that we got you. Okay, now go ahead. Who is this? They hung up. Or they got disconnected. Oh, no. Let's see if we can call them back again. I think that was Sue Han.
What?
Let me try and give him a call and see if I can make this work here.
Oh, my gosh.
Again, yeah.
Another one of the Sue Han. Just love. When I think Sue Han, I just think pure.
Let's see. We're going to call him. We're going to call him back. Here we are. Maybe he won't pick up. Maybe he's like, are you there?
Dr. Laux.
Hello, sir.
Dr. Laux and Dr. Eccles.
Professor. How you doing?
My name is Sue Han, and I am the number one fan of the Orchestra Teacher Podcast, calling in from Fairfax, Virginia, Washington, D.C. region.
Oh, my God. Man, yeah. It is so...
Gentlemen, I just had to call and just say hello and how wonderful it is to hear your voice. I'm sitting here with piles of work and music to study and a little bit stressed out. But I must say the past, hour has been just exactly what I needed.
Good.
And just so thank you so much. And it's just so good to hear both of you just talk about your schools and your student, and you know how much I love both of you, and I just admire the work that you do. And so, Dr. Eccles, your story at the very beginning about you traveling back to your hometown and the story of your family, and that cello is astounding. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I hope you continue with that story and tell us what you find out.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear about it.
Definitely. It's my plan. If I can't acquire the cello, I at least want to find it and maybe play a couple notes on it, take a picture, something.
That is just astounding. Yeah. I just imagine you sitting in your rehearsal space with your students, you know, at the end of the rehearsal, thanking one another for the wonderful music making, and the kids turning to each other and say thank you. I just smiled so big hearing that story, and I may steal that. That's terrific.
And I'm sure, yeah, I got it from somewhere, you know, I'm sure I got it from somewhere, because, you know, I think back to Dan Long tells this great story of when he went to visit Elizabeth Green, Dr. Green. You know, he asked her, you know, Dr. Green, can I come over and ask you questions about string teaching and, you know, all this stuff? And she was like, of course, be at my place this date, this time. So of course, Mr. Long shows up at the appointed time, at the appointed place, knocks on the door, and he says, Dr. Green answered the door and said, I'm happy to let you in and answer all your questions, but you have to do this one stipulation. And he's like, of course, what is that stipulation? And she said, everything we talk about today, you have to share with somebody else.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, so
typical Elizabeth Green, right. You know, just, right. Yeah.
So that whole idea of we are part of a larger community and we all have to share and grow together. Mm-hmm. So Suhan, congratulations. Terrific. Congratulations on your new gig. You're in my neck of the woods. I still have family all over Northern Virginia, and you know, my family still lives in Chesapeake, so I'm there all the time. It maybe hopefully get a chance to lay eyes on, and I can make maybe show you around at some of those spots.
I can't wait. Yeah, I've only been here a little while, and it's an amazing place to be. But yeah. Listen, you don't need to hear from me. I feel like I'm intruding.
This awesome conversation that
you two are having. But I wanted to call in and just let you know how much I miss you, how much I admire both of you. Charles, you're doing incredible work and important work through this podcast. And, you know, I'm your number one fan. So thank you for that. And,
you are my number one fan.
So. Yeah, just keep doing everything that you're doing. And please stay safe. I worry about you in the class, you know, everybody in the classroom so much. Yeah. And so please be safe. And, keep in touch, and I love both of you. So thank you.
Love you too.
Thanks for calling in, and absolutely. We will be in touch. That's for sure. And best of luck when you guys have you already started classes?
Oh yeah, we just finished week one.
Week one. Congrats on week one.
And both of you know this better than I do. You know, so many things in college level is exactly like high school. So both of you know that better than I do. So.
Well, it's great to hear from you, Sue, and you have a great semester, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Yeah. Keep up the conversation. Great. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Take care.
All right. That was a cool surprise.
That was awesome.
Hear from him. Phone's still open. The number again is 678-901-9035. It's on the screen there. Again, 678-901-9035, taking calls now. And obviously, this podcast will go to the non-live version, and it'll go up on our Apple Music and Spotify and Anchor and all those Google Podcasts, all those places for you to listen in. But we would love to hear from you and just take your questions or concerns or just sharing if you've started school, how it's gone for you. If you have not started school, what you're thinking about, what you're nervous about. Obviously, I know I started year 26 this year, and I was nervous. I didn't sleep the night before, and people, you know, think, oh, you've been doing it so long, it's probably just like second nature. It, you know, certain things are,
right.
But at the same time, I was nervous. I just like. it's been so long, and you know, what are my numbers going to be like? And, you know, and I know that that's another thing we didn't, you know, talk about is numbers and, you know, attrition and whatnot. But I feel very fortunate. You know, my numbers went down some, but wasn't drastic. And, you know, we also I also lost some because we had a new school open up down the road. And STEM school with no music or fine arts. And kids decided to go there. So talk about frustrating, because knowing that they're going to not have any type of arts experience, you know.
And once again, that's the opposite of what the top level colleges and universities are looking for. So that's a very interesting
And I told them that last spring, you know, I said, you know, I worked in the college world. I know, you know, and it didn't matter. And a lot of it's a brand new facility, brand new everything.
Right.
Got a beautiful theater, but nothing to put in there. So we had that. That was one of the things. And obviously, you know, when you don't have the concerts and you don't have the social experiences, then, you know, it's challenging.
Yeah.
It's challenging to, for kids to stay motivated. And, you know, a lot of my students, you know, my freshmen, they missed out on a year and a half of middle school. They don't know what it's really like, you know.
Yeah.
What is orchestra really like when you have a normal year and you're just doing your thing, you know. So that's been the challenge, and I'm hoping that we'll get kids back. And like I said, the kids that I do have in class are psyched.
Yeah.
And you know, and their attitudes are great. You know, they're doing whatever I ask them to do, and doing it with a smile on their face. I can't really tell 100%, but they're very energetic and excited about just playing and being in school.
Yeah. That's all we can do. Keep giving them the information, and they'll keep participating, and we'll keep giving them that positive reinforcement and building.
Absolutely. Well, David, anything else you can think of right now?
First of all, to everybody out there, have a great year. You are, you are truly treasures for this country, for this world. The fact that you're making that sacrifice to be there in front of kids and to bring your artistry, to bring your heart, to bring your best self every day. That is to be celebrated and honored, and I honor and celebrate every one of you out there who have made that decision to be there for your students and for your community and, quite frankly, for the world. Once again, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I think what we do is so important, and COVID has just made that fact even has
more obvious,
fact even more to the to the fore.
Yeah,
you know, and for sure. And I loved. I was listening to, you know, and my, you know, watching C-SPAN. Yeah, so they're two members of the education committee who are, you know, one's a former administrator, like a superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
Another is a former educator. And they were saying, you know, when it comes to, especially when it came to the big COVID relief package, they said that they brought that perspective to the committee of it was going to be arts and PE that are going to bring schools back, and that are going to get kids back involved and families back involved in the public education process. Mm-hmm. And they made specific, you know, carve outs to put that money into the big relief package. So to know that even at the national level, what we do is valued and treasured enough to be funded at this point in time. So if you need money for lessons, if you need money for remediation for your kids, there is money available. I can't, in my 31 years of teaching, I can't think of a time when there's been this much real money in the pipeline to support, to offer that real ground level of support for arts programs, for string programs and music programs.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to kind of look for it.
Right.
But I'm sure that there's a lot out there, and,
right.
And if you need, you know, technology things, there's always money now for technology because of what we've been going through and doing.
Yeah.
So,
and don't Don't put a bushel over your light. You know, you're out there doing the work. Make sure the public, your community knows the work you're doing for that community with those kids. You know, your school community, your larger community, you know, your state, your city. You know, make sure you get the word out there that you're back and that you're building and that mm-hmm. your kids are doing awesome things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I also want to put it out there for everybody that if you have ideas or thoughts or questions that you want answered on our next episode, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. There's a form on our website, orchestrateacher.net, that will, you send your message to me and I'm happy to read your question on the air, over the podcast, whether we do it live or not. And or if you have any guests that you think would be great to have on the podcast, obviously I'm really enjoying the live chat today with David, but I know not everybody's in Atlanta. And we can do it over Zoom or whatever it needs to be, but it would be great to hear from some other people in different parts of the country. I definitely try to diversify talking to, elementary, middle, high school, college, from different parts of the country. And would also be interested in, if there's anyone overseas too that can bring some ideas and thoughts and questions to the table, more than welcome to do that. So,
yeah.
But definitely this will be posted on our website, and you'll check out. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcast, all those places. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. David and I have been friends for a long time, and such a friend that last April of 20, during the pandemic when it first started, David was the officiant at my wedding, and honored that you did that for me.
Well, I was honored to be asked. I mean, it's
well,
thank you. Thank you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, but that's all for right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. This is Charles Laux and the Orchestra Teacher Podcast, along with David Eccles.
Thank you, Dr. Laux. You're amazing. Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. To find resources and more information, visit our website at www.orchestrateacher.net.